Let me begin with a multiple choice question. Is your life like a shotgun or a rifle? A, shotgun, B, rifle. What do you think? Probably nobody asked you that before, huh? Well, I remember as a young boy when my dad was teaching me how to hunt, that one of the things he taught me that I remembered all these years was, as he was showing me the different guns, he said this. He said, "Now, son, a rifle, you must aim. A shotgun, you just point." And that's pretty true, isn't it? Okay, any of you who have been hunting, you know what I'm talking about. A rifle has a bullet that's very precise, and it comes out of the gun in just such a way that it turns in just such a way that it's very accurate. And you could put a scope on a rifle. I suppose you could put it on a shotgun too, but it seems kind of funny, doesn't it? But a shotgun, when you shoot a shotgun, it has a bunch of bullets that come out. They're kind of like BBs. Kind of makes a pattern. Depending on the kind of shell you're using, kind of shotgun you're using, it has a pattern. And so you just kind of point it in the right direction, and supposedly you'll hit something. Having done a lot of quail hunting, that doesn't always work either, but still, it's kind of the idea. In other words, what I'm asking you is your life precise or scattered? Maybe that's a better way to ask it. Is your life precise, on target, accurate, aimed, directed, focused? Or is a little bit more come as it may come? You ever ask yourself, does it really matter? Does it really matter what happens in my day, or how I live my life each day, in just the daily task of life? Have you ever asked yourself, does it really matter? I imagine most of us have at some time. You might say to yourself, do I really need to focus on specific tasks each day in order to really live for Christ? Or do I just kind of let it come? Just kind of get up and see what happens. See what comes to me today. I think Paul addresses this topic in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If you'd please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to look at verses 24 through 27. I think Paul gives us some answers to that question about whether or not we need to have our lives focused. I suppose my question would be, should the servant of the Lord be focused? So 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Paul says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Now, I want to focus on 26 here just for a second and read it in some other translations. You know, Paul is saying here that he runs with purpose, not randomly, not just scatteredly. He runs with purpose. The ESV says, "So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air." The New American Standard, part of verse 26, says, "Therefore I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air." And the NIV says, "Therefore I do not run like a man running aimlessly." I had the fun of a few months ago of playing a Wii game with my granddaughter. I had never done that before. You know that Wii game. I'm sure you all know what I'm talking about. It's new to me, obviously, but you all know all about it. And my little granddaughter, 6 years old, we did bowling and tennis, did a little golf, and she beat me. Very embarrassing, but it's okay. She did. But then she wanted me to do another one, and it was boxing. And so I didn't know how that worked, but I had these two little things. I put my arm, and there was this boxing what do you call it? The thing you butt, you know, the thing that's hanging there. A bag, that thing. Thank you, boxing bag. And I started, you know, you start going like this here. You're just going like this. And I didn't know my daughter-in-law was videotaping it. So if you can imagine, I'm over here, you know. It really looks stupid. Because it looked like I was hitting nothing. Now, I did score some points, but my granddaughter beat me in that also. So I've got some work to do on that. But you know, the thing about a real boxer is the one thing they don't want to do. There's one thing they don't want to do. They don't want to hit air, do they? That's the last thing they want to do. That's wasted energy, isn't it? They want to make every time they strike a blow, they want to hit something. And that's the point that Paul is making here. We don't want to live our lives like this, you know. But we want to make sure that every blow has purpose. That every aim, that every time we strike it, there's a reason behind it. Paul, of course, was fond of athletic images, and he often used them, and we find them in lots of places in the Bible. The Corinthians would have certainly been familiar with the Greek Olympic Games, and as well, they had their own local Isthmian Games that was very similar to the Greek game, Olympic Games, and the favorite activity there was the relay race. So they would have been familiar with that, and the relay race being so popular, Paul liked to use this metaphor. And that would be very close to their experience. It was a very important event in the life of the people that Paul was writing to. They, and I think we understand as well, that an athlete must be disciplined if he or she is going to win the prize. Discipline's not just avoiding bad things. I think a lot of times, I know I might think that way, maybe you're like me, we think that discipline's just avoiding bad things. But it's not just avoiding bad things at all, is it? It's actually, and sometimes, giving up the good, maybe even giving up the better for the best. That's what discipline is. The athlete has to watch his diet and has to watch his when he goes to bed at night and, you know, has to be careful the way that he or she goes about his their daily lives, you know, that may be invited to late night parties or whatever, and they say no thank you to that extra piece of cake, or no thank you, I need to go home and get my rest. I see the ladies back here getting ready to go to their volleyball game, and I'm sure they have practiced and disciplined and prepared in order to be effective in what they're doing. Nothing wrong with fun and food and all these things. Those aren't bad, okay? You understand that. But if they interfere with your highest goal. If these things interfere with your highest goal, then they are a hindrance and they're not a help. And so we've got to think about being focused and being disciplined if we're going to be effective. Discipline means to train with a purpose, not aimlessly or not randomly, but each discipline has a goal. You know, if you ever watched a program or followed around or had an opportunity to listen to how some of these professional athletes train, you understand that they do exercises and routines that get at a very specific muscle in their body or a very specific discipline of something they're doing, the way that they're swinging a club or hitting a ball or shooting a basketball or whatever it might be. They'll do a routine over and over and over and over and over and over and over so they can be good at that particular activity. Practice makes perfect, right? We've heard that expression. Well, I like the way Vince Lombardi said that. He said, the difference between a successful person and others is not a lack of strength, not a lack of knowledge, but listen, it's rather a lack of will. And isn't that true? That's really what it amounts to. Discipline comes down to a will, doesn't it? It's not a matter really of strength and knowledge. We can all learn how to do something and we can all know about how it works. But it's a matter of will. Will I discipline myself to make that happen? Now, keep in mind that only the Greek citizens were allowed to participate in these games that Paul is talking about here. And they had to obey the rules both in their training and in their performing. In fact, they took an oath that they would for 10 months train and follow all of the rules of preparation as well as then the rules of participation. And any contestant who broke those rules, even in their training, was disqualified automatically. So in order to give up his rights and have the joy of winning, an athlete had to give up some things and had to work hard and be focused on preparation. Now Paul, in order to give up his rights and to have the joy of winning lost souls for Christ, had to discipline himself. That's what he's talking about here. It's the emphasis of this entire chapter here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Authority has to be balanced by discipline. If we want to serve the Lord and win his reward and approval, we must pay the price. Stay on track. Keep focused. In other words, not be aimlessly beating the air. Okay? If you get that picture. In John Maxwell's book, The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, law number 17, I think, is appropriate here. The law is the law of priorities, and he says this: leaders understand that activity is not necessarily accomplishment. See, that's what I'm saying when I'm talking about discipline being focused. Activity is not necessarily accomplishment. Just doing something, even as an athlete, just doing something over and over again, if you're not doing it right, if you're not disciplining it right, isn't necessarily accomplishing what you want to accomplish. Just being busy doesn't mean quality. We would all qualify of being disciplined if just being busy was all that mattered, wouldn't it? Because we're all busy. We're all busy. Always busy. We all live our life in a fast lane. And just being busy isn't the answer. Are you busy at the right thing? That's the question. That's what Paul's getting at here. In that same book, he quotes Stephen Covey, who says this. He says, a leader is the one who climbs the tallest tree, surveys the entire situation and yells, wrong jungle. You see? Because you know you're not going down the right path. Here everybody's busy. Everybody's doing all kinds of stuff. But are we going down the right direction? Are we accomplishing the right goal? Are we focused on the target? Are we pressing to the mark? So how can we be sure we're focused on the right path and that we're not just beating the air or randomly shooting a shotgun? Well, here I'd like to leave four quick ideas with you that I hope will come from this passage that will maybe help you remember how we can do that. Number one, first of all, get in the race. That's the first thing, okay? Get in the race. He says in verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all. So the first thing we have to do is get in the race. I think there's a lot of people who don't get in the race. The other translation says, all the runners run. In other words, don't be a spectator, but get into the race. Not even a cheerleader. Cheerleaders are great, but they don't play the game. Only the runners run the race. And I think a lot of Christians, we just think, well, that's going to be too much work. And so we would rather watch others run the race. Or maybe it's the idea of, I'm in the race, but I'm not really focused on the race. Get your head in the race. You know, you've heard a coach say, get your head in the game, okay? You're out there, but you're not accomplishing anything. Get your head in the game. Don't be a spectator or just a cheerleader, and especially don't be a Monday morning quarterback. We don't need any of those in the Christian faith. People who don't do anything but tell everybody else how to do it. You've met people like that, haven't you? Don't be lazy. It's work to live for Christ and to stay focused on the goal. Paul said it this way in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark. You know, I remember you've heard this phrase. Somebody's, you know, they'll be talking to somebody and say, well, I'm waiting for my ship to come in someday. You ever heard that expression, you know, that, boy, someday my ship's finally going to come in and things are going to turn out right. Well, then I heard somebody say it this way, and it really made a lot more sense. Don't expect your ship to come in if you haven't sent one out. And that's true. A lot of people are waiting for the blessings of their faith in Christ, but they're not even actually out there running the race. They're waiting for the reward, but they're not even competing. It's not going to come in. You've got to get in the race. Oh, but that'll be hard, you say. Well, that's right. Press. The Christian life isn't a picnic. We know that. It requires discipline plus determination. The words there in Philippians 3:14 that I quoted, where Paul says, I press toward the mark, those are strenuous words, aren't they? They picture a runner straining every muscle, every fiber, every tissue of his forward movement is toward the mark. And so the first point I want to say is get in the race. If you're not in the race, get in the race. You're not going to be a winner. You're not going to have an opportunity to win if you don't get in there and run. And so, first of all, get in the race. Number two, make discipline routine. Make discipline routine. That's verse 25. And every man that striveth for the masteries is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. And I say make discipline routine. That's the word is temperate. Or another translation might say exercise self-control. And the very word exercise means routine. Any of us who've ever gone out and done a new event or an athletic, got involved, maybe played basketball for the first time in 6 months or whatever, when you get done, guess what? You are, at least I am, sore. I'm using muscles I haven't been using for a while. I have not been exercising those muscles. But if I play regularly, then I don't get sore. Why? Because it's a routine. My muscles have picked up on that routine, and my muscles understand, okay, I don't need to be sore now. At least it used to be that way. As I get a little older, they get sore a little easier now. Okay, I'm finding that out. You know, I think in recent years, as fundamental Christians, we've understood this. We've rediscovered the importance of personal discipline and the relationship between a disciplined body and spirit-filled life. But my question is, are we really making it a routine in our daily life? Or do we just know it? We're aware of it. But maybe we haven't really gone into the process of making discipline routine. Of course, we have to avoid extremes. The idea of religious asceticism that Paul talks about in Colossians chapter 2 has really no value spiritually. If I just buffet my body just for the pure sake of buffing it, thinking somehow that's going to make me a better Christian, that's not true. Okay, it's got to have a purpose behind it. And that's there is something to be said for discipline in our lives. Disciplined eating, disciplined exercising, disciplined resting, disciplined spirit-directed balanced life. I mean, we could go on and on. You can plug in the one that maybe you need to work on. Routine, it's the idea of a habit. It's some idea of kind of automatically, naturally, steady, comfortable. That's what a routine is, right? I don't have to think about a routine. A routine just happens because I'm used to it. I do it. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing when discipline is a routine like that. We might maybe smugly congratulate ourselves that we don't smoke or take drugs or, you know, drink alcohol. But what about other things like wasting time? Ouch. I don't like anybody to tell me that, but it's true. Or maybe being lazy or just careless with my money or spending too much time playing computer games or watching TV or what, you know, you just put it in there, okay? You know, every one of us has an area maybe or two or more that we could think about. It doesn't matter what it is. The point is, it's taking you away from having a routine, disciplined life. Christians cannot discipline their time so as to have a consistent devotional and Bible study routine, and that's not good. So, get in the race, make discipline routine, and number three, focus your sight on the reason. You see, this is verse 26, the verse we read a little bit earlier. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. In other words, not aimlessly, not without aim. You know, I love the expression that we say at Christmas time, Jesus is the what? Reason for the season. I love that expression. I wish we should say it all year long, shouldn't we? Because He is the reason. We should focus on Him, focus on Christ. He's that mark that Paul's talking about. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. He's the reason. He's our goal. He's our target. He's the direction we're going. He gives us perspective. He's the objective. Jesus is the aim, isn't He? It should be the focus of our lives. You know, imagine a race. Imagine we're going to have a race. We're going to all go outside here and we're going to race, but we're not going to have any line and we're not going to have any finish line. What would that be like? Well, maybe you'd say, that'd kind of be like my life. Is that possible? Could it be like my life? It would be chaos, wouldn't it? It would be chaos. You've got to have lines and you've got to have a finish line so people know where they're going. But I think a lot of us sometimes, and I'm talking to myself here too, we just kind of go about our life and see what happens and see what comes and There's not necessarily a purpose, a directed focus of what God wants to accomplish today in my life. Going back to Philippians 3, if you want to just turn there even, I want to show you a couple of words here that really helped me to see something of the believing perspective or focus of the Apostle Paul. Look at Philippians 3. We're going to go back to 1 Corinthians in a second here, but in Philippians 3, look at these words here, starting at verse 8. Just notice some of these powerful expressions. He says, that I may win Christ, verse 8. Verse 10, that I may know Him. Look at verse 12. Look at the words here. I follow after. Verse 13, forgetting those things which are behind. And look at verse 13, reaching forth into those things which are before. And then, of course, verse 14, I press toward the mark. Wow. I mean, that's focus, isn't it? That's directed. There wasn't any fuzziness here in where the Apostle Paul was heading. And now back in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, again, look at these same words. Verse 24, the word striveth. The word obtain. Verse 25, so run, or so fight I. Verse 26, bring into subjection. I think that's actually verse 27. But you get the idea. You sense something of the focus of this aggressive, disciplined, routine actions of the servant of God. He wasn't a shotgun. He was a rifle, focused on what God was calling him to do. But you ask, well, how's that possible? You know, given the chaotic world in which we live in today, maybe the particular chaotic circumstances of the life that you are facing today, whatever that might be, I confess it's possible to lose focus and be discouraged. It's possible. I'm sure the Apostle Paul felt discouraged at times because he got his eyes off of the target, off of the focus. But I, like Paul, have to learn to look up to Jesus, and then I find every reason to have hope. So often we go aimlessly through our day with no focus. And I don't even necessarily mean even fuzzy. I mean no focus. You know, the Greek word for the word man is the word anthropos. And that literally means the up-looking one. So if you think about it, you think about animals, dogs, cats, horses, all of their focus is downward. Their face looks down. But men and women who've been born from above are created to look up and focus our eyes on the one, the reason, the one who is the reason for all the hope and strength we can have. Are you discouraged today? Look up to Jesus. He's the one who's going to guide you. Press toward the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what we need to do. And then the fourth one, get in the race, make discipline routine, focus your sight on the reason, and stay serious about your responsibility. Stay serious about your responsibility. That's verse 27. But I keep under my body. Well, that sounds kind of like a funny phrase, doesn't it? Okay. What he's simply saying is he keeps his body under control. His responsibility, Paul said, was to make his body his slave. And Paul knew something that I know I want to learn better, and that's that so much of what happens in my Christian life is going to be determined by how I control my body. Our responsibility is to make my body my slave. That's what he means when he says to keep it under control, to bring it into subjection. Otherwise, he says, I might be a castaway. Now, that word castaway, let's start there. You know, we don't just lose control of our lives, but that's a very specific word. It's a technical word that the folks who understood the Greek athletic games would have been very familiar with. It means to be disapproved or disqualified. It means they broke their oath. They didn't stay with their training, or they broke one of the rules in the competition. And at the Greek game, there was a herald who would announce the rules of the contest. He would announce the names of the contestants, and then eventually would announce the names and cities of the winners. But he would also announce the names of any contestants who were disqualified. Paul says, lest I myself should be a castaway. Paul saw himself as both a herald and a runner. He was concerned lest he get so busy trying to help others in the race that he ignore himself and find himself disqualified. Now, the disqualified Greek athlete did not lose his citizenship, just like you and I do not lose our salvation. That's not the point here. But they lost their opportunity to win a prize. The whole emphasis here on awards, and Paul didn't want to lose his reward. See, only one runner could win the olive wreath crown in the Greek games. But everyone can win an incorruptible crown who knows Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Isn't that wonderful? Every one of us can. We can all win an incorruptible crown when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And this crown is given to those who discipline themselves for the sake of serving Christ and winning lost souls. They keep their bodies under control and keep their eyes on the goal. Be serious about the goal. Don't be like the athlete I read about in the New York Times. I read this article. Here's the title. It says, Higgins' untimely glance loses race. While he is looking back at his opponents, Caldwell rushes and wins. A glance over his shoulder at the trio of flying runners in his rear cost Joseph T. Higgins of Holy Cross College the victory, which was won by David Caldwell from Boston. It was a 1,000-yard invitation race which featured the annual games of the Osnum Association. Less than 6 inches was the margin by which Caldwell triumphed over Higgins, and fully twice that distance was lost when Higgins looked back as he began the last lap of the race. He looked back. He took his eyes off of the target, off the goal, and because of that he lost a little bit, just enough that he lost the race. And we have to be serious about the target, serious about the mark. My responsibility is to make my body my slave. I must focus on the goal of controlling my body and not the other way around. That's easy. Letting my body control me. I can glance back quickly and that can happen, but I have to stay focused. So I must master my body. And that's, by the way, the verse we read earlier that Dr. Anderson read, Hebrews 12:1, that little phrase, laying aside every what? Weight. What's weight? That's the stuff that's holding you back. That's the stuff that's keeping you from accomplishing your goal of reaching the target. Paul had one great goal in life, to glorify the Lord by winning the lost and building up the saints, and this meant not being aimless in his daily life. To reach this goal, he was willing to pay any price. He sacrificed immediate gains for eternal rewards, immediate pleasure for eternal joy. There's a book out that's called The World is Flat. It's by a man named Thomas Friedman. Some of you may have seen that book. It's a very interesting book. He's not a person who actually draws maps, so don't worry, okay? He's not saying the world is actually flat, but he's talking about the technology of the 21st century and how it's made the world flat in terms of communication and connection. But he quotes an interesting African proverb. It goes like this. Every morning in Africa, a gazelle wakes up. It knows it must run faster than the fastest lion, or it will be killed. Every morning, a lion wakes up. It knows it must outrun the slowest gazelle or it will starve to death. So it doesn't matter whether you are a lion or a gazelle. When the sun comes up, you better start running. And boy, doesn't that describe the Christian life? It doesn't matter who you are. You better start running. Get in the race. Get in the race. If your ability to eat depended on your ability to shoot, you better learn how to shoot at the target, hadn't you? Well, how about that for our Christian life? Let's be like the Apostle Paul. Let me add the word you to each of these statements. You get in the race. You make discipline your routine. You keep focus your sights on the reason, and you stay serious about your responsibility. Be one who is not aimless in his daily duties, but is purposeful and directed. In other words, are you a rifle or a shotgun? Remember, a servant of the Lord must be focused. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Apostle Paul and how he wrote so specifically using these metaphors of the athletic events to give us a terrific picture of what it means to run the Christian life. And Lord, I pray each of us will get in the race. And Lord, as we're in the race, that we'll make discipline our routine. It'll become a part of our life, keeping our sights clearly focused on the mark of Jesus Christ, and be serious about our walk with you every day. Lord, help us to keep our body disciplined so that we can faithfully serve you and accomplish that very reason you've created us for, to be servants who are created unto good works. In Jesus' name, amen.